Today, Kiwis get another rate cut, but will home prices respond? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World Notes Post covering finance and property news. New Zealand has been on a more aggressive monetary policy path, having pushed rates high enough to create a recession, then cutting them again, starting with its easing cycle back in August, lowering the official cash rate by 225 points, including another 25 basis points today, making the RBNZ one of the most aggressive rate cutters among its peers. Compare this with the Federal Reserve, who paused this year after 100 points of reductions in the final months of 2024, or the Reserve Bank of Australia, who was cut by only 50 points, but of course did not lift rates so high in the first place. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand has to overlay highly uncertain trade war impacts on top of an economy that is in the early stages of coming out of recession, with plenty of spare capacity, but is also set to experience a brief spike in inflation ahead. The decision from the Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee was to lower the official cash rate by 25 basis points to 3.25%, cutting interest rates for a sixth straight meeting. Their new forecasts indicated one more 25-point cut and the chance of another. The minutes from the meeting, chaired by Governor Christian Hawkesby, showed that there was active discussion of keeping the OCR at 3.5%, reflecting the uncertainty linked to the trade wars and Trump's shifting on tariffs. The 5-1 vote by the Monetary Policy Committee members in favour of a 25-basis-point cut versus remaining on hold highlights the caution displayed by at least one voter, who it would appear wanted to see more information to assess the impacts of this year's inflation spike and the tariff impacts. The reality is there is little clarity around how the tariffs will impact, not least because no one knows where the tariffs will settle. Everything is up in the air still. The level of tariffs is uncertain. Any retaliatory action is unclear, and any government stimulus support around the world is still unknown. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand is certain that global growth will slow as a result of the tariffs, but they're uncertain whether growth slows through a demand shock that would lead to disinflation or a supply shock tending to boost inflation. In fact, they analysed two alternative scenarios to help understand the effects of tariffs on the New Zealand economy. One scenario is where tariffs predominantly hurt global demand, while the other hurts global supply. The findings, I guess, were pretty intuitive and well-researched. A net supply shock means a higher official cash rate is needed to handle stickier pricing pressure, while a net demand shock means a lower official cash rate to spur activity. The key takeaway from all this analysis is that the Reserve Bank is leaning towards its central projection, which is slightly more towards the net demand shock scenario, which underpins their revisions downward to 2.85% trough in the OCR projections. In fact, the forward guidance shows that the official cash rate falls to 2.92% by the end of the year. That's lower than their previous 3.14% that it forecast in its February policy statement, and it forecasts the benchmark will drop to 2.85% in 2026, indicating the risk of a cut to 2.75% for the cash rate. That said, it's hard to predict, so the scenarios were useful in giving indication of how the bank is thinking and how they'd react if things changed ahead. So, in the light of all this, the committee considered the merits of keeping the cash rate unchanged, but voted 5-1. To cut. Arguments in favour of a cut were that inflation is in the bank's 1-3% target range. There is significant spare capacity in the economy, core and wage inflation has continued to decline, and there is a weaker outlook for domestic activity and inflationary pressure because of international developments. The committee then voted for just the second time since its formation in 2019 in favour of the cut. Hawkesby said the committee is more likely to vote when policy reaches an inflection point and also in times of uncertainty, which of course they have in spades. There was no streamed press conference this time after the announcement, but chief economist Paul Conway did make a short video which explained the rationale.
Today, the Monetary Policy Committee voted to cut the official cash rate to 3.25%, so that's down 25 basis points. Lower interest rates in the economy are encouraging households to spend more and businesses to invest. When we combine that with strong earnings in parts of our export sector, these lower interest rates are helping the economy to recover. But there is high uncertainty both here and abroad about the economic effects of global tariffs. There is potential for tariffs to reduce economic activity and inflation in New Zealand, but we don't know exactly how this will play out yet. It will take some time for lower interest rates to have their full effect, particularly given higher global uncertainty. But we are well placed to respond to both international and local developments to maintain low and stable inflation for Aotearoa New Zealand.
The other consideration for the Reserve Bank of New Zealand is the unwelcome spike in inflation over 2025. The main case is a rebound in tradables inflation after a period of decline in overall tradables prices, with the Reserve Bank of New Zealand specifically citing food and electricity prices. Inflation expectations have started to rise in several of the recent surveys. That could simply be a short-term response to high-profile price increases and the noise around tariffs, but it also could be perhaps something a bit more broader and systematic, and it might show persistent shifts in behaviour that could hinder the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's job of containing inflation. Their updated forecast shows inflation rising as high as 2.7% later in this year from 2.5% currently, before slowing to 1.9% by early 2026. Interestingly, ASB has it tracking a little higher. The Reserve Bank reiterated the expectation that the economy will recover modestly in 2025 after a contraction last year that saw gross domestic product shrink 2.1% in the 6 months through to September. Average annual GDP growth will be 1.5% in the year through to March 26. That was less than 1.8% that it projected in February. And the economy actually likely contracted 1.1% in the year through to March 2025, it said. Asked whether the cash rate was approaching a neutral level, chief economist Paul Conway said, yes, we're definitely in that zone. When asked if the committee had an easing bias, Governor Christian Hawkesby said the scenarios are wide enough for the bank not to have a predetermined path, and that next decision would be driven by developments. The key message is that we have done a lot of work, Hawkesby told journalists. We have come a long way and we're in a good position such that we can respond to developments as they occur, as opposed to being pre-programmed or preset to make any particular move. The vote, suggested by a raised bar for OCR cuts at each meeting going forward, said Westpac New Zealand chief economist Kelly Eckhold, who now expects a pause in July before a reduction to 3% in August. Last week, Finance Minister Nicola Willis delivered a tight budget that she said created room for monetary policy to respond with low interest rates. In a statement following the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's announcement, Willis said the rate cut showed the work done by the government to take pressure off inflation by bringing public spending under control. Hawkesby said the budget played a little part in the decision to cut rates. But the question now is whether the Reserve Bank of New Zealand is underestimating the degree of easing that it will need to deliver enough to right the economy, given the wider global fallout from the trade wars and the weaknesses seen within New Zealand at the moment. As ASB economists wrote, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand has assumed that the overall impact of the trade war will be to dampen New Zealand inflation pressures over the medium term. But as the RBNZ is at pains to point out, it is really uncertain at present. Its policy outlook could change if circumstances evolve differently to what it has assumed to be the most likely. Now, one consequence of all this is the continued fall in home prices in New Zealand. They're still tracking lower, with the April data from the REINZ revealing a slightly slower and more subdued market as the cooler months arrived. Although sales have increased, they say, compared to April 2024, the national median price has declined. Additionally, new listings entering the market have also dropped. This April, there were many factors that influenced the property market, such as school holidays, Anzac Day, and Easter. Some salespeople mentioned that there were fewer attendees at open homes and fewer successful auctions, they said. New Zealand's median price declined by 1.1% year on year to $781,000, though with significant regional variations. In fact, in New Zealand, excluding Auckland, the median price remained unchanged year on year at $700,000, and Auckland's median price declined by 4% year on year at $1 million. Over 12 months, average prices rose by 8.4% in Tasman and 6.6% in Southland, but fell by 5.8% in Northland, 4% in Auckland, 7.1% in Marlborough, and a massive 24.4% on the West Coast. They said that there has been a notable increase in sales across the country, however. Despite this upward trend, property prices continue to decline due to a significant number of properties still available on the market. Real estate professionals report that buyers are seeking properties at lower price points, and they are willing to explore alternative options if they view prices as being excessively high. The REINZ went on to say that as interest rates decrease, we can expect an increase in market activity. However, vendors should be aware that prices haven't yet aligned with those changes and should be ready to adapt to evolving market dynamics. The House Price Index, the HPI for New Zealand, is currently at 3,621, showing a year-on-year and month-on-month decrease of about 0.3%. Over the past 5 years, they say, the average annual growth rate of New Zealand's HPI has been 4%. And Southland remains the highest ranked region for HPI movement, taking the top place for 10 consecutive months. So all up, the aggressive rate cycle and a focus on migration control have led to an easing of home prices, something which seems a million miles away across the ditch. So it'll be interesting to see which strategy from the central banks have worked out best. But I'm not sure that home prices, which have so far in New Zealand not responded to 225 basis points worth of cuts, will track significantly different ahead, at least in the short term. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.